So, Noah, if I recall, you prayed for strength. If you pray for strength and it looks like that, please pray for me to have strength too, because I want to look like you one day. I also want to say thanks to all the young guys that led this evening. Braden, Jarrett, wonderful job as always. That is a big deal. Should be very proud of that. Guys, fantastic. I remember when I was interviewing for my first internship, I was at dinner with a bunch of elders, and I was 19 years old, and I was interviewing for the youth internship, and they said, "Are you a song leader?" I said, "Sure, I can lead a song." I'd never led singing in worship in my life, but I can. Surely I can do it. And so they said, "Great, tomorrow morning you can lead singing." Well, the congregation was 500 people on a Sunday morning, and they heard something the entire time I was leading singing, because I was so nervous, I kept kicking the podium the entirety of the worship. There are a lot of nerves associated with getting up in front of people, especially at a younger age, and I value so much our elders' willingness to let this be a part of our assemblies together. I appreciate parents pushing sometimes their children to do this, because this will make a difference. It really will. And I also want to say I appreciate our young ladies. I know you don't get a chance, the young ladies don't get a chance oftentimes to get up and showcase their talents, to lead, and that's not God's plan for young ladies, and I'm great with that. Young ladies can find a place to serve and use their gifts in other areas, and I hope we as a congregation are also doing our part to make sure we're finding those areas for those young ladies as well. I want to say thanks to Jake Van Dyke for filling in for me class this morning. I committed to speak at Exposure Youth Camp while I was still preaching at Pleasant Valley. Well, that drive to Huntsville on a Sunday afternoon looked a lot easier when I was on that side of the county. Also looked a lot easier when I was only going to speak one time in the afternoon, or so I had thought. And then this Sunday, I was informed that I was actually speaking three times in Huntsville with a half-hour longer drive. So that was a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind that afternoon. Jake, thanks for filling in, man. I appreciate your servant spirit. Very much so. Appreciate you letting me go and do that, especially since, quite frankly, I didn't know I was going to have to do it three times, and that's on me. I should have known that. Let me tell you about Jarrett real quick. I always use family analogies. Quite frankly, they're the best, aren't they? Jarrett woke up Christmas Eve. "Dad, it's Christmas Eve." I was like, "I know, son." He goes, "Does that mean it's going to snow?" Oh, man. "Son, we're in Alabama. It's like 65 degrees outside, all right? We're putting on our shorts and a t-shirt today. It's going to be great." You see, he had an expectation that because it's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, snow is supposed to be on the ground. Well, one day it might happen. Not this year. It'll happen, son. I know it will. Expectations, though, are tough, aren't they? You see, we get on our minds thoughts of how it's going to be, and then reality hits us. So I spoke this afternoon to probably somewhere in the ballpark of 800 teenagers, and depending on where they were, a lot of them were either not Christians, new Christians, or had only been Christians for a few years. One particular girl in my class sat right there in the front row, and she told me, "Hey, Austin, I was baptized November 24th of this year. I've been a Christian for just over a month." I said, "That's fantastic." I wonder what her expectations are for this life as a Christian. You know, one thing that I didn't fully anticipate was after, you know, that excited newness, not wore off, but as I kind of tempered myself back down to reality, I didn't expect Satan to come after me so strongly, nor did I expect myself to give in so often or so easily. I expected to be a spiritual Superman. Well, guess what? I'm not. And so maybe you had an expectation in living your life as a Christian that this would be easy and a cakewalk and full of a bed of roses, as we might say. Well, we need to hear the message from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Well, we've been set free. We're Christians. And then it says, don't go back to where you used to be. Where do we used to be? A little bit later in the text, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit." You see, the desires of the flesh
or where we used to be.
And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Excuse me. Here are some of those things maybe we used to be a part of. Sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions or disunity, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before. He's saying, I used to warn you about it. I'm going to warn you about it again. As I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you may have expected a bed of roses and realized Satan actually works harder for those people he doesn't have. So the day you became a Christian, you were put on Satan's hit list. He was coming to get you. It's his get list. Because you left the world and you united yourself with the Lord. God united you, rather, with the Lord, with himself. And so because of those things, he's coming at you, he's tempting you, and he's trying to pull you in. But I warned you, as I've warned you before, I warn you again, these are the works of the flesh, but we are no longer of the flesh. Rather, church, we are of the Spirit. Amen? Well, that's a time. We are of the Spirit. The text says beautifully, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, which means the result of living a Spirit-led life. Spirit-fed, Spirit-led. The result of living a spiritual life is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. I wanted to give us a short reminder of where we used to be. You see, when we forget where we used to be, sometimes we might be led to complain about where we are. And if you complain about where we are, the words that come out of your mouth actually become the prison bars that hold you in. If you complain, you remain. But if you remember where you used to be, lost in sin outside of Christ, you recognize where you are, saved by Jesus, by the blood of his sacrifice, you realize where you are is the greatest place to be. Amen? Yes. Amen. And so we get to live a life as a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less. Just exactly what I want. Just exactly what you want. And just exactly what God wants. Now, I hope that's your expectation. And I hope it is your expectation to go from this place and live it out. Because we get to live the best life. Talking about these sins and the Spirit, this morning we asked the question, who am I? Have you been drifting towards sinfulness or spirituality, caught in between? If we can help you move towards the Spirit to become alive in faith, we want to help you do that so badly. A spiritual family such as this has many people that can encourage and lift you up. The Hebrew writer says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. That's our goal. We want to help you do it and live it out. And if we can do that, let us know how we can help you as we stand and sing.